Well, Brother Baskin, you come on up here and share us a little testimony real quick, and then we'll get in prayer.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Pastor. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time visiting with your pastor. I honestly, in all of these years, I've never seen a better or more aggressive soul winner than your pastor. And I thank God for him. We did have a little problem today. We were in an area where the houses were $300,000 to $500,000, and in this $300,000 to $500,000, Pastor had been witnessing to these people, and knocked on the door. A man came to the door, and he was a Mormon bishop, and so Pastor almost converted to Mormonism. as he looked at that $500,000 house, but Pastor and my wife have had a running battle going, and she said this afternoon, and she said a while ago, said, be careful about following that preacher. He drives down a narrow road. That's where we knocked the mirrors off of the vehicle. But those things are difficult things as you face in life, and you really don't understand. There's a lot of things that take place in life you don't understand. But as a result of that, literally, tracts were given out, my message was given, and you heard the pastor say that four people made honest, earnest confessions of faith, trusted Christ as Lord and Savior. And it was so refreshing to hear them calling upon the Lord and assuring the pastor that they really meant business. And so thank you, preacher. And I believe God has great things in store for this church. As God has led this man here, you've been a very stable church. Brother Tom spent such a great time here as he was grounding you in the Word of God and encouraging you in missions. And now God has brought this man here. And I would say this, Brother Tom's still around here. You better get with it and get rid of him. You better send him to the mission field. Is that right, Brother Tom? Yes, sir. Because their heart, I understand their heart for that great field over there on the Silk Trail. Now, as we've been with you this week, the theme of the conference was the harvest field. And the first night we talked about the seed, which is the Word of God. Now that God is the one that provided that. We don't provide our human reasoning, but God was the one that provided the seed, which is the Word of God for us to sow. Then the second night we talked about the sower, the importance of the sower, and sometimes the cost that's involved for the sower as they go forth. There is quite a price to pay as you leave your homeland and you go to another country and you begin to witness and live there with all of the inconveniences and everything and all of the risks that are involved. But you stay there as long as God wants you. And then, of course, we talked about the sender, the importance of having people that will send. So tonight, I know that every one of you are asking the question. You're asking of the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? Just like the Apostle Paul, Lord, what do you want me to do? And so for a few minutes, let's look at this. How do we get answers to our prayers? How do we actually get answers to our prayers? Well, I'm going to show you, first of all, in John chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 3, if you'll turn there real quickly, or maybe they'll have it on the screen here in just a moment. And John chapter 15 and verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. The necessity of getting answered prayer is a clean heart, a clean life. The Bible says, who shall ascend? That's in the Psalms. Who shall ascend the holy hill? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. You see, God uses clean vessels. God uses yielded vessels. God uses broken vessels. And so as God cleans you through His Word, that's how it brings conviction to you. And you put off those things that are contrary to the will of God. So to have prayers answered, we have to have a clean heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me, the Bible declares. And so I say the first requirement for us, as we're thinking about what God would have us to do in regards to this thing of faith, promise, missions, is make sure that our hearts are clean so that God can actually talk with us. And then the second thing is abiding in Christ. John chapter 15, verse 4 through 7. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 4. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, abide in me. That means drive your stakes down and make up your mind. You're not going to try to serve two masters. Your life is going to be a life of abiding in Christ. And He said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I heard Pastor over and again as he talked to those people. He said, I'm giving you the Word of God. I'm not giving you human reason or some religious jargon. I'm not giving you that. I'm giving you the Word of God. And then he would ask them, can God lie? And the answer is obvious. God cannot lie because He is all truth. And your pastor emphasized the fact that what he was doing was just merely a vessel. I honestly wish, Pastor, that the time would come as you and I correspond, that you'd have training sessions for everybody here on soul winning. You're honestly, I've been with over 1,000 churches, okay, and you are right at the very top of the soul winners in America and outside the United States. Now, to get back to the Word of God, abiding in Christ, John chapter 15. And then the third thing is obedience to the Word of God. Obedience to the Word of God. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 15 again. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then look down at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself. So, the real question, the bottom line is, do we love the Lord? Do we love the Lord? If we love the Lord, we're going to keep His commandment. What is His commandment? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. To every creature. That means every person starting outside the door of this church and every person in both of these adjoining towns, preach the gospel, offer the gospel to everyone. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so there has to be obedience. But you see, if you cannot go to the mission field, then you need to be involved in Faith Promise. It's so refreshing to be with these kids. They love to hear mission stories, and they give us little bouquets. They write us they write us letters and so forth. And this city, I want to tell you something, folks. This area is so blessed of God to have a man of God with a family like this pastor has. So blessed of God to see such love for each other and love for the souls of men. And you're so blessed. And he comes to you and he says, now, I want us to be a leading church as far as faith promise is concerned. And so we start with the little ones. I remember I was in Midland, Texas, and a teenage boy, years before, he started working for McDonald's. And he worked his way up, and when it came time to graduate, he had climbed the ranks, actually at McDonald's. He started out, number one, he said, the first thing I did was, as soon as I got paid, I set aside 10% of everything for the church, for the Lord's work. And then he said, when I learned about faith promise, I immediately started giving the faith promise. I think his faith promise went above his tithe as the time came. Came time to graduate from high school, and he decided not to go on to college, but to go ahead and enter the workforce. And in the next 3 years, by the time he was 23 years of age, he was high up in the McDonald's organization. And as he climbed that ladder, as God lifted him up in that ladder, he continued faithfully tithing and faithfully giving to Faith Promise. And he testified to those men. He said, I learned as a teenager, I learned the joy of giving. And though I cannot go to the mission field, I can give so that the missionaries can go. Now that's what we're talking about, and so we need to be obedient to the Word of God. God says, "Freely you have received, freely give." Jesus said, "It's more blessed to give than to receive," and so the Bible says, "Give and it'll be given to you." That young man told us that it works. Sure, it works because God said it would work. Isn't that right? Now, and then the next thing is really, really pray. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 14. John chapter 14 and verse 14. He said, and look in verse 13. And whatsoever you shall ask. Hey, what are the boundaries to prayer? I mean, is there something that is impossible with God? He said, whatsoever. What does that mean? That means that God hasn't set any boundaries. He said, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, if you ask anything in my name. Now, if you're abiding in Christ, you're not going to ask for something that is not pleasing to the Lord, right? So you have to be abiding. You have to be obedient. And then he said, as a result, he said, if you ask anything in my name, it will be done. And then look at John chapter 16 and verse 23 and 24. John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. It says, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father. He said, now while I'm here on earth, you're asking me. But now you're asking the Father, and that your joy may be full. These things, in verse 24, hitherto have you asked me nothing. Now, have you asked me nothing in my name? Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. God is not the God of happenstance. God is the God who wants His children to have fullness of joy, constant fullness of joy, peace in the midst of the storm. Now, let me give you an illustration of what true intercessory prayer is like. Okay? True intercessory prayer. I haven't said very much about Cambodia. But I got involved in Cambodia many years ago, 1975, and I'll mention a little bit more tomorrow. But 1975, Pol Pot and another man had studied in France. They decided that they would turn Cambodia into strictly an agrarian society. And so they came back and they began to train young people in the mountains as soldiers. Some of the young people they trained was as young as 12 years of age. They were not even big enough to carry a rifle on a sling because the butt of the rifle would drag the ground. And trained those troops, 1975, all of a sudden, they came in on trucks, firing their weapons, screaming. Then young people from 12 to 18 years of age, they were screaming, out, out, get out, out. You're good for nothing but fertilizer for the field. If you live, there's nothing to gain. If you die, there's no loss. And they began to kill anybody that had glasses. That meant that they'd come under Western influence. And before that Holocaust was over, 2 million Cambodians had died from starvation or being killed, worked to death, and so on and so forth. When I first got involved, human bones were still protruding from the embankments along the road. That was Cambodia. Well, some of the people were able to flee that country. And as they fled that country over into Thailand, the Thai people are Buddhist also, but the Thai people stole everything those refugees had, and they raped, and they sent them back, some of them across the minefields. And of course, the people die in the minefields. They asked the Thai people, they said, aren't they Buddhist? Why did you do that? And their answer was, they had a bad karma. Cambodians have a bad karma. That was their excuse. But there were refugee camps established along the border there. And one day, one of the health caregivers had been on duty 18 hours receiving, helping people who had crawled through the jungle, all of the insect bites and all of the cuts, the abrasions and the sickness and what have you. And he was so tired. And he was getting ready to go and get some rest. And all of a sudden, he felt somebody tugging at his breeches leg. And he looked down, and there was a dirty face, little old Cambodian boy. And so he said, "What can I do for you, son?" That little old boy looked up at him and said, "Mister, my brother is out here. I've got him leaning against a tree. My brother's dying. I want you to go help my brother." And the health caregiver said, "Son, I'm so tired. I have worked 18 hours. I cannot see any more patients." And that little old boy, tears running out of his eyes, wrapped his arms and his legs around that health caregiver's leg. And he said, "Mister, I'm not going to turn you loose until you tell me you'll help me with my brother." Yeah. He went out to help him, but it was too late. It was too late. But the kind of prayer that gets hold of God, "You shall seek me and you shall find me when you search for me with all your heart." Clean hands, pure heart, absolute obedience. And James said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a man availeth much." Pastor?